And we are back with another edition of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I am Kevin, here alongside my sister, Mare Bear. What's up, Bear?
What up, everybody?
And this week, we are kicking off the final season of The Office. In a few short weeks, we will be done. Actually, not a few, what, like
3 months? I was going to say, we have like another 3 months,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, in 3 months, we'll be done with The Office. And then, you know...
April, May-ish, we'll be done.
Yeah, something. And we'll, you know, we'll share a little later down the road what we're going to do next. I'm very excited. But this week we are kicking off season 9 with episode 1, New Guys, and episode 2, Roy's Wedding.
Yes.
Now, before we start this week, Bear, let everybody know what we just covered last week.
All right, guys. So last week we wrapped up season 8 with Turf War, where we find out that the Binghamton branch shut down. We had a visit from a Syracuse salesman, Harry Jerome. And
where's Lloyd Gross?
Basically, they were battling for the Binghamton clients.
Yeah.
Robert got high on coke and shut it down to once he was partying.
He partied too hard and closed Binghamton.
Yeah. And then Free Family Portrait Studio. That's a mouthful.
That one is.
That was our season 8 closer. And basically, Dwight had a free family photo day. A photographer come in for everybody. All the warehouse workers. And he was trying to get DNA off of Angela's baby to see if he was the father or not.
And E-Day was back.
Yes. Hey-Day came back.
With his penis drink.
Yes, him and Glenn lost all of their lotto winnings for an energy drink for Asian homosexuals that tastes like penis and coconut.
Coconut, penis. Awesome.
Which we find out that Robert California is a huge fan.
Big fan.
Andy also... Oh, yeah, I forgot to... talk about Robert California's shining performance and his monologue in Turf War, where basically he tells Andy, fuck off, I'm the Lizard King, you don't even know who the fuck I am. and then we find out David Wallace came back.
Bought Dunder Mifflin.
Mm-hmm.
Andy is back as manager.
Bob Kazimakis
leaves.
Is going to help undereducated gymnast in Eastern Europe. And that's basically
so California's
it.
Gone. Wallace is in. Andy's manager again. And that starts off season 9.
Yes.
And Dwight and Angela are waiting for the results to see if Dwight is the father of her child.
Yes. All right. Now, season 9. Episode 1, guys. Opener. It's called New Guys. So our cold open, Aaron's really excited. Andy is returning. We find out that David Wallace sent Andy and his son... on an outward-bound wilderness adventure to give Andy more confidence.
And decisiveness.
Nellie is nervous. We see Dwight arrive. He says that he created a new, like, power drink.
Yeah, like a Gatorade.
From Beet Runoff, which is just, like, a highlighter blue. But he also found out that he was not the father of Angela's baby, sadly.
And we see him vomit it up on her.
Oh, God. It was so gross.
She's, like, covered in, like, blue juice.
Oh, God. Then we find out that Kevin Summer, he ran over a turtle, glued the shell back together horribly, crushed it again, and rebuilt it again, but the turtle was dead the whole time.
There is like a little Easter egg, I think, in there. So when the first time he glues the shell back together, it's the actual shell all like fucked up.
Yeah.
And then the second time he crushes it, there's like pieces that are filled in. And one of them, I believe, from the, what's the Christmas episode? Yankee Swap?
Uh-huh.
When... Jim gets
the shamrock keychain
for Creed.
Yes.
Yes, is part of the turtle
shell.
Yes,
you're right, because he couldn't find all the pieces. He's not good at puzzles, so he just took things from around the office.
Like kitchen magnets on his shelf.
A bottle cap.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Ridiculous. Pam and Jim are in an interview, and they're like, there's really nothing much going on. Jim's like, oh, she painted a mural in the kids' room. But then we find out that Jim's friend is actually creating a business from an idea that Jim had in college, where it's like sports marketing, but the players are included?
I don't know. He's like vague about it.
Yeah. And then we find out through Toby that Kelly is gone. She moved to Miami University in Ohio with Ravi.
Do you know who the most famous Miami of Ohio alum is?
No.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Really?
Yes, he went...
Big Ben Rapisberger?
God,
Roethlisberger? Oh, God,
Jesus Christ. Big Ben never went to trial. He's fine. He's good. I love Ben. He's a great quarterback. But yeah, Miami of Ohio is a school out there. Also, I believe, Jim Harbaugh...
Who the fuck
John,
is that?
Yeah, no, John Harbaugh, the coach of the Baltimore Ravens, went there. And he was roommates with Brian Pillman. professional wrestler.
Oh.
I know three people who went to the University of Ohio, Miami of Ohio.
Well, at least you knew where it was, because apparently Kelly didn't. She thought she was going to party with LeBron James and J-Lo.
South Beach.
Yeah. And then Ryan also quit shortly after and moved to the Silicon Prairie that is southern Ohio, apparently. So then Pam and Jim are getting done with their interview, and they're like, don't you guys have enough? Like, it's a paper company.
Well, this is, like, off camera. Like, they're wrapping up.
Yeah.
They're taking their microphones off and shit.
And the guy's like, well, we're really more following you at this point. And she's like, oh, yeah, in the beginning, you know, I guess we were dramatic, but two kids and work, nothing's going to happen to us for a long, long time.
And Jim makes, like, a face like...
Yeah, he's like, oh, fuck.
Well, she's, like, bored with me.
I didn't take it as that. I took it as, like, he's being sneaky.
Is it?
That's how I took it.
Huh, okay.
But anyway, so that's our cold open. Mm-hmm. So we caught up on most of the people's summers.
Yep.
And then we are introduced to the new guys, new Jim and new Dwight.
Two young guys.
Yeah,
the one guy is Clark. The one dude is the nephew from Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yes, he is.
That's Dwight Jr.
Yes.
And then the other guy, Plop.
Pete and Clark.
Yeah, he's like a guy who you look at quick and you're like, oh, he's a handsome guy. Then, like, as you, like, look at him more, you're like...
He's like Weasley features.
Yeah, he's kind of generic. And yeah. He's like a 4 and a 3. A 4.3. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know. Like, he's like unremarkable.
Yes, he's a very average dude.
Yeah, yeah. He's like me.
But, so everybody's like, oh, it's the new Jim and new Dwight. And Jim just, he's like, I just don't see it. I don't get it. So Andy's back. He's acting all cool.
Wearing a flannel shirt with this tie, by the way, because he did the outdoor thing. Because
he's so fucking cool. he's confused as to why Nellie is still there. And she's like, great, thanks. How are you? So then Andy is calling the new guys. He's giving them new nicknames. So Clark is the Dwight Jr. and Pete is Jim Jr.
He calls him Plop.
Yeah, well, now Pete is Plop and Clark is Fart. But they explain that they've been calling him Dwight Jr. And so Andy's cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
And now Dwight is like, he sees him as a son.
Yeah, he stands next to him. He's like giving him noogies. He's like, oh, I do see it. Because he didn't get the son he wanted. Aww. So he'll do this. He'll project.
Womp, womp. So now Angela is putting her cat Comstock up for adoption, the one that wears long denim jeans.
And the video they're playing with, like, the Sarah McLachlan song, and the senator is, like, playing with it.
Oh, my God. And she's so like, awesome. He loves those pants, as the cat's, like, getting away from him.
He's, like, in this wingback chair.
It's so strange. So they're putting him up for adoption. She tries to get Oscar... Oh.
Hold on. We got to go back to when the two guys walk in and meet Andy, the two new guys. Because there is a line. There's the line of this episode. When Meredith says, hey, new Jim, sit on my face. I had to go back to that because that was fucking hilarious.
Like, no, thank you.
Anyway. So yeah, Angela's trying to get rid of this cat.
And she tries to get Oscar to take it. And he's like, I'm more of a dog person. She goes, you know, if you pray hard enough, you could become a cat person. And Oscar goes, those guys always turn back, Angela.
You know he went to one of those camps.
So now Andy is asking Toby why Nellie is still there. And Toby explains that they need cause, which is not true in Pennsylvania.
Not true in Pennsylvania.
We are an at-will state, people.
They did not do their homework on the...
Not the, in the least. They the just occupational needed to keep, law. They just needed to keep Nellie there. And they were just like, oh, well, in L.A., we need cause. Not in PA, motherfuckers. We are cutthroat.
That's right.
I mean, we always give cause because we don't want to pay out unemployment, but...
We?
Well, okay.
I like how you put that. Sorry. Me and my massive podcasting corporation.
When I was a manager at a corporation, I'm still with the corporation, but I'm not a manager anymore, but they would always...
Oh, demoted, huh?
No, promoted. I just don't have anybody reporting to me, so I actually have a calm, relaxing
life. A lot of freedom. A lot of freedom.
Yeah. But HR would always push us to have cause so that they wouldn't need to pay out unemployment, essentially.
Amazing.
Right? Corporate America, everybody. Mm-hmm. So now...
Oh, and that's when Andy's just like, well, pretend you didn't hear me say it. I have a mind like a steel trap. I went to the Memory Academy, and I sat next to a woman named Brooke, and she had a Greek salad for lunch.
See what I mean?
And that's when Andy says, now I know why Michael hated you so much. And my favorite is Andy just goes... Andy. He's like, so hurt.
Toby's like, man.
It's awesome.
Aw. So now Dwight approaches Clark in the break room, and he's like trying to bond with him.
Slayer tickets.
Offers him, he's like, I have tickets for Slayer in 10 months.
As someone who has seen Slayer live twice, and I enjoyed them both times immeasurably.
Were there Dwights there?
No, there were no Dwight. Like, everybody there was very hard-looking. We'll put it that way. People who lived a hard life or were ready for a hard life. Like, it was... Our cousin went with me the one time. I'll never forget. It was a great time. But, yeah, Slayer is awesome. You don't listen to Slayer much, do you?
I've dabbled, but I've not... I'm not say,
you
like
grew up in the same house with me, yeah. But we didn't listen. She was more like... Hold on, I'm going to get the song. I'm going to get it. I want you back.
Oh, you mean I was into NSYNC when I was 8? Yeah, you're right. Kevin.
That's when I started getting into, like, Slayer and stuff, because I'm older.
You're 11, yeah. You were 11 at the time.
Okay, well, that's probably the first time that... 11. That's probably around the time Garaging came out by Metallica, and I heard the song So yeah. What, which drops a lot of words that 11-year-old me was like, hey, Dad!
And I'm sure 8-year-old me wasn't allowed to hear.
Dad, what's a schoolgirl's twat?
Oh, my God.
Things like
that. I can only imagine what his response to that was.
Oh, Dad. Yep. Our father. He's definitely a poetic soul.
Thank God.
But anyway, yeah, Slayer
anyway,
ticks,
man.
Anyway,
that's a tangent.
Slayer ticks.
No, I got into the rock a little bit later because obviously I'm a little bit younger than you.
Well, okay, so you
listened to... into the same types.
You hated Backstreet Boys.
Yes.
How were you on, like, 98 Degrees?
Like
Nick
neutral?
Lachey? You didn't, like, hate them?
No. Because,
like, you hated the Backstreet Boys because they weren't NSYNC. They were, like, competition.
Obviously.
How about, like...
But 98 Degrees wasn't even on NSYNC's level.
What about you plus me equals
together.
Us.
Together! Yeah. I love Together.
With Chris Farley's brother?
Yes!
Shit was awesome.
It was.
And I'm trying to think of, like, all the boy bands. It was O-Town. O-Town had Liquid Dreams.
Yes.
There was...
Sexual song. Like, listening to it now...
Well, Liquid, I kind of have ideas.
Oh my God, it's like a completely, like, sexual song, and, like, 8-year-olds were singing it. It was ridiculous.
Well, that... Well, what is his name? Lou Pearlman? The mastermind
yes.
behind all this? And didn't he go to jail for...
Oh, I don't know. I think it was tax evasion.
Oh,
or
was it?
Embezzlement.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I didn't say what I was about to.
Yeah, I don't think he was...
Yeah, just drop it there.
He wasn't like the Jesus from the Dude.
But that was horrible for me, though, like, growing up in this house, because, like, our youngest brother, or middle brother, we'll say,
mm-hmm.
he was, like, you know...
5 years younger than you.
Yeah, he's, like, a baby.
Yeah.
Not baby, but he's just like, I'm, like,
he
5.
He was 6 when you were 11.
Yeah, but then, like, you know, you and our sister were, like, NSYNC all the time, and mm-hmm. I was, like, always outnumbered, because he's just like, I want to play with monster trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I had to listen to... Gotta giddy up and all that shit. And bye, bye, bye and all
bye,
that
shit. Bye, bye.
What's the one that was like, it's Friday night
and I
just
they
got paid. I know it.
Money, money, money,
yeah,
money.
Right. And now, like, Joey Fatone's famous for being an Impractical Joker accomplice. And he's all, I think he was also the voice of Family Feud, right? I'm Joey Fatone.
Oh,
here's
probably.
Steve Harvey. He's like the voiceover guy. He's
oh my
like,
God.
Who's...
Well, Kevin always used to make fun of us saying, like, oh, which one of you like Joey Fat One?
Fat One, yeah. Well, I always had, like, I didn't hate
him. Although our sister's favorite was Lance Bass.
That was a hard one to swallow. Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely later on. She didn't, I don't think she saw that one coming.
I
was like a 10-year-old.
I was a JC Chazé's fan.
Chazé
fan.
Nobody, none of you liked JT.
No, that was our,
did our cousin like
our
him?
Our cousins.
Really?
Yeah, we were all only able to pick one.
But none of you settled for Chris Kirkpatrick, right?
Did oh, anybody... no, wait. That was our
oh, really?
Cousins. Yeah.
No way. It's connecting dots right now.
Yes.
Remember he had that dumb road dog Jesse James hair?
Yes, sir. I'll tell you off air who JT's
no, oh,
was.
Yeah, like I need to know. Please, I just mouth it.
Yep.
Anyway.
So anyway, back to the episode, guys. As you can tell, we were really
entertained
music. By
this
one.
I love music, okay?
Maybe that'll be our next podcast idea.
Nobody wants to hear that.
So anyway, Clark dips on Slayer, saying like, oh, I'm busy that night, even though no date was ever given. And then he basically is just like, oh, I love Dwight. Are you a root man or a fruit man?
Yeah, let's talk about farming.
And he's like, is that a gay thing? Like, cause it's totally cool, but I'm into ladies. That's such a root man thing to say.
Yeah, Dwight's like, oh, yeah.
And then Clark makes a play for his sales.
Yeah. Like, getting hot leads from Dwight.
Yeah.
And
Dwight, of course, gets immediately paranoid and is like, fuck you, you'll never be in sales. So then, of course, like, Jim is fucking with him, saying like, oh, yeah, the sales meeting that Clark and Pete called that you weren't included on.
So Dwight's paranoia grows.
Yeah. So now we see Angela announcing to the office about the adoption of Comstock and that she wants an independently wealthy, cute couple who cares about education, black or white. She's fine with either, but not both. And Stanley is just like, what the fuck? And then she says to Pam, you're still in the running, but you need to wow me. And Pam's like, what? Don't want a denim-wearing cat. So now Andy is talking to Nellie, and he's basically telling her that he's going to be a big bitch and make her miserable.
Yeah, make her life hell.
Because he can't fire her, so he's just going to make her miserable.
Yep.
So now we're outside, and there's a slack line. Andy brought his Outward Bound or whatever, like, guides.
Counselors, yeah.
Yeah.
Rafe and Feather.
God damn it. It's all about the nicknames. And so Jim is asking Pete while they're standing there, like, oh, are you into sports?
Oh, this is the worst thing, because I know I do this. This is my thing, like, if I'm... when, like, you're dragged someplace with a girlfriend and there's guys there, but you don't know them, so you're just like, you watch baseball?
Yeah.
You're like, what's your football team? And oh my God, there's so many times when I've gone out with people and, like, you're just trying to make conversation. And I'm just like, oh, you into college football? No.
Oh. That would be my husband.
Yeah, well, yeah. Scotty's a different breed.
Yeah.
But no, but the worst ones are the ones
you're like... He'd be like, no, I like fishing.
Yeah. Oh, Bassmasters. All right. Like, I could bullshit that.
Yeah.
Kevin Van Damme. All right. But, like, there's the ones who, like, you're talking to, and you're like, oh, you like sports? Oh, God, I love the MLS. Like, fucking soccer?
Oh.
Soccer? That's not a sport. I hate soccer.
Oh, we are about to get some backlash.
Soccer sucks, all right? It's boring as fuck. I was stuck at a lake house last summer during the fucking World Cup where everybody was glued to the TV watching fucking Ronaldo or some fucking Messi. I don't fucking
Ronaldo.
Know. But I'm just watching guys kick a ball and run up and down a field. No scoring. Just flailing around the French team.
Cardio.
Just, oh, I don't give a shit. I do cardio, but guess what? I don't make people watch me do it. I don't go to the gym and give out tickets. Hey, ladies, you want to watch me run?
Oh, like, my God. It's the gun show, not the running show.
That's right. It's an upper body business at the gym. But I just... Oh, that's a real thing. Like, what Jim is doing here, trying to, like, feel out the waters.
Oh, really?
Like, is there something we can talk about?
Yeah. So, Pete's response to, is he a fan of sports? He goes, yeah, boxing, tennis, and then...
It's, like, the worst sport.
Right? And then he goes, what about team sports? He goes, oh, yeah, NASCAR, the amazing race. And he goes, yeah, but you like the Phillies, right? Like, horses?
Yeah, that's such a great line.
He goes, no, baseball. And he goes, oh, I'm from Vermont, so, you know, I like the Red Sox.
Oh, Pete is automatically on the shit list of characters.
And
right
so
now.
Jim's just like, nope, I tried. There's nothing there.
So now, many times I've had to do that.
So now Andy makes Nellie go on the rope, and he literally, like...
It's just, like, a rope that's, like, 3 feet off the ground.
Yeah, if with that. The pad.
They have padding underneath it. It's just like a cable that they tightrope on. Yeah.
And so he makes her go on. She's self-conscious about her feet, so she keeps her heels on. He helps her get up and then pushes
her
off.
Shoves her face
first. He's just like, oh, Toby, or oh, Nellie sucks, sorry.
She pulled a Toby, I think. Yeah. And then Toby's just on the side, like, with his arms crossed, like, you really doing this, huh?
Well, no, because I think he goes, don't be a Toby, or else it's going to be a real Nellie. Like, calling them both lame. And then they all applaud, and Nellie starts clapping, and Toby puts her hands down, like, don't clap for him.
I know his game.
So now he goes, Daryl, what about you? And one of my favorite Daryl lines. This is one of my favorite Daryl lines.
It's because it's dripping with truth.
Seems like the kind of thing white people with dreadlocks would do. It's so true.
Yep. Let's go on a nature retreat. Yeah, totally. And they listen to Sublime and Dave Matthews. Those fucking people.
So now Dwight Jr. goes... And he actually does really great. He says that he has huge inner ears, so anything regarding balance, he's great at. And Dwight is unimpressed, and he goes, and he literally falls so much.
We get a montage, yeah.
Of him, like, literally bouncing off of the slack line.
Crotching himself.
Yeah, and
he's just bumping all around.
He starts bleeding from his mouth.
Well, it's like he bit through his tongue because he's like, la, 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 he can't
and
talk.
Then Toby ends it. He's like, nah, I'm calling this off. Everybody go back to work.
It's a bloodbath. He's like Mills Lane. Yeah. Like, it's a bloodbath. Let's call it off.
So now Dwight is in the warehouse, and he's taking the tires off of the bike wheels. He's building something. He takes, like, the fucking
legs off a folding table.
It's ridiculous. And then Pam walks by, like, so we saw this when Jim was trying to escape from Robert California.
Oh, the ladder.
And Mrs. California, the ladder to the roof. And she sees this, like, cable. She goes over and she goes, bum, 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 bum. And she's like, Dwight, like, immediately knows it's Dwight. And he pops his head and he goes, oh, Pam, come on up. I'm up here. So after that, we see Angela is interviewing Plop for Comstock. That's
exactly what I wrote. Angela with Plop.
And she's like, why do you want this cat? And he goes, well, I really don't, but you asked me to interview. So she goes, what are your ambitions in life? And he says that he wants to start his own business, be a millionaire, travel, see the world, make changes, earn his MBA at night. And she's like, have you made any concrete steps towards that goal? And he says that he's just getting used to the job. So now Jim overhears this and he's like, huh, good luck with that one, Plop. You're going to be stuck here forever. Mm-hmm. And he goes, maybe Plop is the new Jim.
The self-awareness comes over.
Oof. It's a rough one.
Not That's really
a
subtle. Rough one.
No. So then Dwight is trying to convince Pam to be his counterweight.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to ride this bicycle across this tight wire to a telephone pole.
Yeah, it's on the roof going across. But the way he has, so the legs of the table are under the bike. That's where mm-hmm. Pam will sit as a counterweight.
Yeah.
She's going to sit going 40 feet over the ground on this thing.
Insane. And she's like, no, Dwight. And he's like, this will be the most exciting thing to happen in your boring life ever.
Again, not very subtle.
No, but she's like, I like my life exactly how it is, Dwight. There's nothing you can do to make me want to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So now Pete and Angela, they're still talking. And he's asking, why are they giving the cat up? And she says, well, the baby is allergic to Comstock. And that he is the senator's favorite cat. And he is heartbroken over it. And so that's when Oscar decides he'll take Comstock.
It's the only time she's seen him cry aside from their wedding night.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So then she's like, oh, the senator's going to be so upset. He won't be able to say goodbye. He has a business dinner tonight. So then we see Oscar in the stairwell on the phone. And he goes, guess what? I have a surprise for you. You're going to see your old buddy Comstock when you come over for dinner tonight. Woof.
That's awesome. Woof. Awesome.
So now everybody's leaving for the night, and Jim tells Pam that he just has to make a quick call, and he'll be right down. So we see Dwight now attaching a printer to be his counterweight since Pam said no. Oh, and she also made a joke, like, he goes, oh, we're about the same weight. And she goes, if you're 105 pounds.
And she looks at the camera, wink.
Yeah.
Bye, pal. Hey.
So then we see Jim, like, go to call his friend, and then he hangs up, picks up his stuff, walks back, like, he's very nervous.
As this is happening, Dwight puts the copier on the bike, and he exhales. We see Jim sitting down, he exhales and makes the call. Mm-hmm. Like, they're filmed in tandem. Like, the two of them are obviously
nervous and anxious.
And they're both trying to prove something. Dwight is trying to prove that he's better than young Dwight, who could walk on the tightrope and he couldn't. And Jim's trying to not be like young Pete. He doesn't want to make the mistake. He wants to change it and not get stuck there and all that shit. Yep. So, like, the two young guys are, like, mirror image. Like, Dwight and Jim are each acting out in a certain way.
Because the young guys
are, like, reminders of what they were.
Yeah, so, essentially.
Young and, like, vital.
Yeah. So now, Dwight announces to everybody as they're leaving.
It's a Jimmy Hart megaphone. Like, yeah, baby! It's,
he's awesome. Like, this is what a real salesman looks like, Clark.
He poses.
He does the macho man, like, or the Scott Steiner. He's like,
Scott Steiner, and he punches his gut out. That's so awesome.
So now, as Dwight starts going across this tight wire, we see Jim. He calls his friend. He tells him, don't talk to the other guy. I'm in all the way.
Yep.
And then he walks away and he goes, yes! And then we see Dwight pedaling across, and the bike goes,
like, halfway upside across, down. he just goes over.
Yeah, he goes upside down. The fucking printer paper starts going everywhere. He's hanging on just, like,
by the handlebars.
Yeah, and everybody's like, oh my god, what the fuck?
Creed's
talking head. He goes, there was a circus in the parking lot today. There was a printer that did tricks on a high wire. A lady tried to give away a cat that looked like a baby. A baby that looked like a cat. Dwight and Jim impersonators. There's a strong man that crushed a turtle. Not bad for a day at a dog food company.
I laughed and cried. And he's eating popcorn as the firemen take Dwight down off the high wire. So awesome.
So now, our closing scene is Nellie getting cans and garbage thrown at her because Andy placed the garbage in recycling bins literally around her desk. Yeah. And everybody just keeps throwing their stuff at her. And they're like, sorry. And then she's like, just get up and put it in the bins, everybody. It's not that hard. And then you see, like, a literal, like, lunch, like, French fries fall onto her fucking keyboard. And Stanley just goes, swish. And Andy says, revenge and recycling.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about. What did you give this one, dude?
3.7.
Wow.
I liked it.
I gave it a 3.0.
Really? What didn't you like? Because Andy wasn't really a focal point on this one. I know. Neither was Aaron. And Kelly and Ryan weren't there. I'm thinking of all the negative characters who weren't around.
I know. I said it was solid. Like, it introduced new characters. It explained the exits and the direction that the rest are moving in. But it wasn't like, oh, this is really funny. For me, this was just like, we have to show whatever, like, what direction everybody's moving in.
Well, they, like I said before, it was not subtle with the Jim Pam thing.
Yeah.
From the opening talking head to Jim's glances and talking heads.
Yeah.
To, like, him calling and Dwight doing, like, it's obvious what direction they picked to go with Jim and Pam. They went with the, they've only been married, what, 2 years? But they're going, yeah, because
more than that,
season six.
Oh, yeah, I forgot they were pregnant when Cece, she was 5 months pregnant when they got married.
Yeah, so it's been 2 years. And, like, this is something that usually happens in marriages, like, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, maybe. And, like, they're, like, speeding it up, I think, because they know the show's life isn't going to be long. So they're doing this whole thing where they're like, oh, we're stagnant. And, like, they got to change things up. Or they're not happy with their work. Or, well, not so much Pam. Pam seems at peace with everything.
Yeah.
Because she even says to Dwight, because, like, that's another thing. Dwight's like, oh, your boring life. Like, that's what, like, just hit me over the head with the plot, you know? And, like, obviously, Pam's, like, okay, like, not to say she's settled, but she's settling in.
Well, she's happy with where her life is now.
And Jim's like, well, I can do better than that. Like, he wants to do better for her and the family.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much where they're going. You can obviously tell that's where they're going this season with them. Yeah. Dwight having, like, he's not a dad. The son, the surrogate son he thought he would have turned on him and tried to steal his customers. So, like, he's lashing out just he doesn't know what to do with himself. It's all right, whatever. I don't know what you can do with that.
Yeah.
And then the Andy-Aaron thing, like, okay, Andy hates Nellie. Yes. Why did he fucking hire her? Like,
well, that's, I mean, it was just kind of like I said, it was, they
wanted
funny
this woman on the show for some reason. I don't understand it.
I don't know why.
She adds nothing. And I know this is going to be one of those things, the hipsters in a few years, like, yo, Nellie was, like, really good. No, she isn't. I'm sorry.
She really wasn't.
No.
It's been a few years. She really wasn't.
No.
I just, there were funny parts in this episode.
The turtle.
But, yeah.
Creed's closing monologue.
But there wasn't anything that I was like, oh, this is great. It deserves a
no, none of it was ha-ha funny.
Yeah.
I
mean, it was, we needed to see what direction they were going in.
Hey, new Jim, sit on
my
face.
And they did well. Yeah.
I don't know. I think the line, the what's it called? The slack line. I thought that was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Toby getting shit on is funny. Like, I don't know.
Andy.
I guess I liked it for, I don't know why. I did give it a 3.7.
Hey, that's your gut reaction, man. Keep it.
I watched it twice, so I'm okay. Yeah. I'll stand by it.
Yeah.
But that'll bring us up to episode 2 of season 9, Roy's Wedding. But before
first,
that, why don't you tell everybody where we are, Mary?
I am going to tell everybody. You can find us on Twitter at brosispodcast or via long-form email feedback at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
As you can tell, Kevin and I love doing our
mid-show break here.
We fight over it constantly.
You can also find us each and every Monday on any podcasting app that you use, whether that be Google, Apple iTunes Podcast, Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, wherever you can find us. And you can also find us each and every Monday on the Ginny Position podcast feed, where not only will you find us, but you'll find other great shows such as Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Driving, and more.
Mm-hmm.
Now that brings us up to this episode, Roy's Wedding. The cold open is, the office is covered in garbage. It looks
it's disgusting.
To steal a line from Dwight, it looks like a barrio. but it's just like there's garbage piled up all around.
Is this the one where the puppets live in the barrio?
And basically, the janitor went on vacation for like a month, and Dwight didn't hire anybody else to clean up.
Mm-hmm.
So garbage is just piling up all around or whatever. And Pam, as the office administrator, thought of a fun thing to do. And create a chore wheel. But then when she presents it to everybody, everybody wants it to spin. She's like, no, we just turn it one notch every day, so nobody does the same job all the time. And she's like, everybody wants it to spin.
And also, there's like 20 jobs on this thing.
Oh, there's tons. And like Jim's like, it's more fun if you spin it.
Yeah.
So they did this. They do the spinning thing, and it's Kevin's on mug duty. He's like, mug duty? Where are the prizes?
Yeah.
So then it became like Pam went in. She actually made a wheel where prizes win $10. Creed's Choice is one of them. Stanley Eats Your Lunch.
Manager for an hour.
It's like all this shit. But if you hit the tiny wheel, she has a little tiny wheel that's actually the chore wheel. So Meredith had to go clean the toilets. But
they don't even mind.
Because it's so much fun. So that was a good one. I liked that.
Yeah, it was enjoyable.
Pam and Jim are headed to Roy's wedding at 8 a.m. on a Wednesday morning. It's at his house, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam's eating a banana because she thinks he's going to have hot dogs there because that's what he wanted at their wedding.
She planned a wedding with him. He wanted hot dogs.
Pete and little Dwight arrive. And they, like, talk to Erin. They find a Newsweek on her desk, and Clark's like, oh,
you're well informed. You like the news.
The news, you know, whatever. And they go.
He's so slimy.
He really is. Nellie is launching a charity initiative. That's her special...
Operation Give Back.
Special project.
Well, Andy has shot down every other one, so he can't do it for this one, because it's charity.
Yeah, and so that's her big thing, is that, was it, they got $4,000 in a fund to go to each other's charities or something. We go to Roy's wedding, which is at his house, and we see Daryl and Val are there.
Well, first we see a waiter with mimosas on a tray.
Yeah, he meets Jim and Pam in the driveway. He's like, can I take your peel? And she, like, eats the rest of it. She shoves her banana in her mouth and, like, puts it on, like, the tray.
Mm-hmm.
Takes her mimosa. And, like, they're like, oh, this is a nice house.
Which, I mean, if I'm being completely honest, maybe it's just right now, but I wouldn't mind a hot dog.
Uh-huh. A ballpark Frank with some, oh, my God, spicy brown mustard. Holy shit.
Ketchup.
And we had, like, a good dinner tonight, too.
Yeah, we did.
But, so, as they're walking in, Jim's phone rings. And Pam's like, who's that? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, it's my ex-fiance. They laugh. So Jim does a talking head where he said he started a new business with his friend. But Pam doesn't know because she shot it down, but he's still going through with it.
Don't lie.
Back in the office, Nellie's trying to get everybody's charities. Stanley's doing the diabetes.
American Diabetes Association. And
Creed wants to build gnomes with Jimmy Carter. And then Dwight picks a charity, and they're like, oh, good, Dwight. He goes, it was backed by it's a front for the Taliban.
Oh, my God.
He's like, congratulations, you're going to support them.
Did you get Creed's
talking? Creed's talking head where he's like, Taliban, they're bad people. Great heroin. Which actually
they're the worst. That's great heroin, though.
It's a big deal in Afghanistan. They have like the, was it poppies or something? What are they? Oh, fuck, there's a, whatever.
Poppies,
opium.
I think, are cocaine.
Opium. I don't know. Now I'm like all confused now.
I don't know. Anyway. But they have whatever is needed to create heroin.
Yeah, great heroin. Afghanistan. So Jim goes up to Roy at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, this is a great house. How you doing? And Roy's just like, oh, help her. Like, he's really like kind.
Yeah.
He's like, yo,
if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have met Laura. Yeah. Dodged a bullet with that one.
I love how he says that. And like Jim's just like, oh, well, thanks for inviting us or whatever. And then... Oh, one of my favorite side characters on the show. Kenny, Roy's brother, steps in and goes, you don't have to waste time on this haircut. He's got a $50,000 sports car. And Jim's just like, oh, all right. All right.
Hey, Kenny.
We haven't seen him since he smashed the bar. So Dwight Jr. and Plop are in the break room. And Dwight Jr. is pretending to take a phone call. And Aaron's in there. And he like basically says to Aaron, oh, would you like to audition for a newscaster position? Like, I'm on the phone with my friend. He's a really good news producer, you know, and he's looking for talent. And, like, this is whole thing where he's like, come over tonight and, like, you know, maybe you can do an audition. We'll, you know, wear something nice, something low cut. I'll get the camera out. He's being very skeevy.
Yeah.
But Aaron's dumb. And Plop the whole time is uncomfortable. Where I think he even does a...
Clark, I'm not friends with Clark.
Yeah, he doesn't talk
to me. That sits next to me at work. My real friends are Scott, somebody,
Glenn,
somebody.
And Steve.
Yeah, you don't know them.
So Roy does a toast at the wedding, and he's like, you know, he's nice. He's well dressed. He's got the beard. Like, he looks good. And he goes, "I got a surprise for you, baby." And he goes to a piano, and Jim's like, "Roy plays the piano?"
Piano's like, "No,
no." And then he sits down. And he goes, "Remember when I told you I was taking boxing lessons? I was actually getting piano lessons." And he starts playing probably a top five Billy Joel song.
She's got a way about
her. She's got a way about her. I love that song. That's, you know, my favorite Billy Joel song is Vienna, personally. Although,
it's a good one.
Oh, and you know what?
No, we've done this before. We need to get through this episode.
But I got so much to say about Billy Joel. He's so great. But he starts singing this song for her, and everybody is like gobsmacked. Like, Jim and Pam are just like, the fuck? And then we see Phyllis. I don't know what Phyllis and Bob are there.
Yeah, because
they're the only other ones in the office who are invited.
Okay, so that confused me. So I understood Daryl.
Maybe because he worked in the office because the warehouse with Vance Refrigeration.
Well, he worked in... He was going to work for Vance Refrigeration when Dunder Mifflin was getting bought out. But he never actually worked for Vance Refrigeration.
But they're there making out, eating face. No. Bob is on Phyllis like a monkey on a cupcake.
That's relationship goals. If there's any relationship in the office that you want, it's that one.
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
So then we get an awkward drive where Jim and Pam's just like, do we know everything about each other? Do we not surprise each other anymore? And it's like really weird. She's like, tell me something about you I don't know. And Jim stalls. And then goes to commercial. We come back. He's in the office, in the kitchen. And what's he says something. What is it? Oh, the lottery. Okay. He does the thing where he's like, oh, we got the lottery numbers from a week earlier and we taped it. And then we showed it to my brother or whatever. Or was it?
They did it to him.
They did it to him. So I just finished a series called Happy Endings, and this was actually a cold open to one of their episodes. And that show ran from 2011 to 2013. I don't know if they ripped it.
This is 2012.
I don't know if they ripped it off or not, because like I forget what season it was in. They did this where they got the lottery from a week before.
Yeah.
They videotaped it. They gave him a fake ticket with the numbers on it, and he freaks out. But like I'm like, do they steal that gag? Which show stole that gag first?
I don't know. This is 20. Well,
yeah, it's 2012.
2012 or
2013. This is late 2012. Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Only because the car inspection was 6/12 in when Dwight was like, hit the NOS!
Wait, really?
And that was season 8, yeah.
Okay.
I watched it twice today. It was 6/12.
So, Nellie gets a contract and takes it to Dwight that from now on they live by Taliban law in the office.
But she used, like, Comic Sans.
Yeah, like a bizarre font.
Joker.
So, Jim... Dwight's just like, she's not real.
She doesn't have a plan.
Used a silly font. She's not serious. And then she does a talking head where she's like, nobody takes you seriously if you have a silly font. Like, that's her whole thing. So she steals Dwight's pin. And he runs back to get it from her. And she's like, oh, there's been a theft. You have to cut off my hand by Taliban law. And it's like, Dwight's kind of like, oh, what? All right, I can. You know? So Aaron tells Andy... I just said Aaron tells Andy he's an idiot. That's right. Okay, Aaron. Okay, I missed a comma. So Aaron's telling Andy that Clark wants to videotape her and do the audition in that. And then Andy bursts into the back and Pete's like, oh, he's going to fight Dwight Jr.
Just tell you my notes is Andy's a literal fucking moron. That is
right in crystal clear, black and white. Right.
But there. I understood as soon as you said Aaron tells Andy he's an idiot. Yeah. I was like, I know what part you're talking about, though. I can help.
So he goes back and like Pete thinks he's going to confront Dwight Jr. for being a skis. And basically Andy's like, well, this is great. Like, what does she need? Like, here's my credit card. Take her out and get her clothing.
Get her some clothes.
So basically Dwight Jr. turns to Plop and he's just like, I guess I get to go take Aaron out for some sexy clothes when the boss is dying. And he disappears, you know.
Ugh.
So, So they're in the break room now. It's Jim and Pam. And Oscar, Angela, Kevin, and Toby are there.
Yes.
And they're asking them, like, because Pam wants to prove that they don't know everything.
Not so newlywed game, I think they called it.
Basically. So they're asking them questions, like Pam's first celebrity crush or whatever. And, like, Toby answers it before
he whispers it.
Yeah.
John Stamos.
And then, like, Jim knows it. And Kevin, like, Kevin in the background going, what's the weirdest place you made Whoopi?
Yes.
And Angela keeps getting offended.
Like, but I love that, as Pam's about to be like, but he was quickly dethroned by, and then Toby goes, Johnny Depp. And everybody, she's like, Johnny Depp. And everybody stares at him and goes, well, I was having a separate conversation with Kevin.
And he just goes, Johnny Depp. And Kevin just goes, oh, yeah, George Clooney. like it was a real conversation. It's so awesome.
But I can't tell if Toby, just knows Pam that
well. He does. He's a stalker.
Or if he's a legit stalker.
So Who was your first celebrity crush? Do you remember?
Oh, God.
I can tell you my first.
Probably J.C.
Oh, really? Chazé?
Yeah.
You don't even know his name. J.C., the guy with the Caesar haircut.
I used to be able to.
No, mine was Kimberly, the Pink Power Ranger.
Well, Amy Jo Johnson.
Yeah, that's right.
She just turned 50.
The queen of Angel Grove. Yeah. She was the best.
Susie Q.
She did turn 50, and she looks great.
Yes, she
does. I mean, that was total, like, reality check for me. I was just like, yeah. Oh, shit.
She's 50.
Shoot. But
she's also less than a decade younger than our mother. Let that just settle in.
Thanks for ruining that. Thanks a lot. So, Jim gets a call and he leaves. And then we see Pam get suspicious. Like, yeah. Maybe there is something Jim's not telling me.
Hmm.
Daryl, who's now wearing a suit, tells us that he is Andy's consigliere. And he goes, Andy thinks I'm just into The Godfather because I'm black. No, I'm into The Godfather because I'm a cinephile. I'm into Scarface because I'm black. But my favorite is they take that ending scene from The Godfather, yes, when they shut the door, and Aaron's on the outside just, like, beaming, like, smiling. Total opposite. But it's absolutely hilarious. But
Daryl calls a meeting,
yeah, they call
for
a meeting,
Andy,
yeah,
to talk about Aaron's body.
Yes. And that's when they start, like, Andy announces she's getting a
an
audition.
Yeah.
Like, she's doing a tape.
Yeah.
Audition.
And everybody's like, wait, why are we talking about her body?
What are her credentials?
What are her qualifications?
But,
like,
but then Angela goes, have you done the pageant circuit?
Yeah.
And Oscar's just like, you don't need to be beautiful. Look at Walter
Cronkite.
To which Meredith is like, oh yeah, I'd take that mustache ride.
Jesus Christ.
Two episodes in a row about riding somebody's face.
Well, somebody hers, yeah, and then she would ride theirs.
So awful.
Jesus.
We see Dwight and Nellie in the break room still, and she pulls out a chopping block and a cleaver.
Dude.
To which Dwight says, like,
we need to sharpen that.
I need to sharpen this. And she's like, all right, I have to make a few calls and I'll be right back.
He goes, do all the two-handed activities that you do now, like cutting or tossing a salad. I'm like, what the fuck? Why?
So Aaron is now reading news items for Andy and Daryl about Hamid Karzai and shopping and shit.
Kia Sonatas.
And, like, it's just Andy's telling her to pause or whatever. It's just whatever.
I'm not even going to lie, guys. The second time I watched these episodes,
I just, like, tuned out the first time. I was just like, fuck.
Oh, the second time I legitimately fast-forwarded it on Netflix.
You're just done?
Yeah, I was like, I'm not even going to waste my 20 seconds waiting for her to
It's not even worth it seeing Daryl in, like, a suit and tie.
No.
But now we see Pam. She tries to lie to Jim and comes up with the story that a guy from high school hit on her at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want to tell him. That's something that he doesn't know. And he's just like, you're lying. You made that up. And she's like, yeah.
You would have told me as soon as it happened.
He knows her.
Which is not a bad thing.
No, that's good. That's an attentive male.
Yeah.
Woman. So Dwight continues to stall from cutting off Nellie's hand.
He's just, like, raising the cleaver, bringing it down, like, doing practice swings, essentially.
So Plop goes to Andy and Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And how exactly does
he's
put
like,
this?
You know, I was just thinking, like, Aaron's going for this newscaster interview, but they don't really go based off, like, how well she can read.
Mm-hmm.
It's the
the rapport between the two.
Between the anchors.
Yeah.
So who knows? Like, Clark could do it, but he's already working camera.
She needs somebody who she has chemistry with to do it. And Andy's like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
So we see Daryl go into the break room. He puts on his laptop and he plays 127 Hours for Nellie and Dwight, which is the movie where James Franco cuts off his leg, right? Or his arm.
He's a biker who gets stuck in, like, one of the ravines out in, like,
Red Utah.
Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has to cut off his own arm in
to
order
to
save himself. That is an
Grizzly,
intense
right?
movie. Dude.
I never saw that one.
Dude, when they get to the nerve, you, like, you're
delightful.
You're watching it and you're like, I can't. I love my hands. Nope. Can't do it. No.
I always said I'd feel like useless if I ever got into a car accident and lost my legs or something. Like if I became a paraplegic or something.
Yeah.
I can't imagine not walking.
Yeah, it's hard. I can only imagine.
Like the people who do that are like courageous.
Yeah,
in my
they
eyes.
Really
like I can't
are.
Imagine. Although I mean like Lieutenant Dan got those new magic legs at the end.
You got new legs.
But okay, so we go to Clark's apartment.
127 Hours, yeah.
Where Pete, Andy, and Aaron are there. He opens the door with like his chest showing in like this silk shirt.
Oh my
he's
god.
He's like, hello.
There's music on.
Oh yeah, like the sexy music.
Oh.
But then he's like, oh, the three of them are here. So Aaron and Andy go in and he's like, what's going on, Plop?
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, Andy wanted to do it with Aaron as like a co-anchor, and I'm the makeup guy. My hands are tied. Like, he's totally bullshitting. And Clark's just like, fuck. So they're doing the read, mm-hmm. the two of them. And it's awful, as you would expect with the two of them.
Yeah.
And Clark's just like, all right, we're done. He like wants to finish up as quickly as possible. And Andy,
because Andy wants some close-ups.
Andy wants to keep going because he thinks he's going to be a star. And he wants to do some more reads. Aaron's hungry. So he tells Plop to take Aaron out for some burgers or something like that. He's going to keep going.
Aaron literally acted like a three-year-old. She's like, I'm hungry.
She did. So they leave. And Andy's going to have Clark videotape him some more. We finish up with Dwight and Nellie watching. Oh, actually, there's somebody's talking. I forget who. But we see Plop and Aaron eating together.
It's Aaron.
Yeah.
Maybe it might even work out for Andy.
Yeah. And they're eating together at a restaurant, like, talking.
Yeah.
We see Dwight and Nellie watching movies, calling each other idiots, basically. Because they're going to. What was the other movie they want to watch?
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. Because of James Franco.
Yep.
And that's the end of the episode. What'd you give it?
2.2.
Not a fan of this one. And I don't know. I know the ending is ambiguous here, but is Pete the real skeez that he did the nice guy routine to get the girl?
We'll find out.
Who's better? Who's a better person? Because they both feel like skeezes right now. Because the way he was looking at her, he looked at her with lust in his eyes.
Ew.
He did. But, okay, there's a big mark against this one. The reason I put it so low, they wasted Roy's wedding.
There's so much ammunition. So much possibility.
There really
that.
Is. And they just.
Roy Anderson is one of the best characters that they've underutilized in this series.
And, like, I know the reason they did it is because to show that Roy changed. Yeah. And they're still. Jim's still working at the paper company. Him and Pam are together. Like, I understand the whole point is, like I said, beating it over the head this year mm-hmm. that the two of them are in a rut. That's the whole thing. And that Roy took piano lessons. He still surprises people.
Mm-hmm. Well, he even, in his toast to his new wife, he's like, my mystery girl, always surprising me. Mm-hmm.
And even when he asks Jim, oh, what are you doing? And Jim doesn't even say that he's still doing
just
what
like,
he's doing.
Not gravel.
I got stuff in the works. That's what he says. So, like, obviously, like, that is the keystone here.
Yeah.
But they wasted a lot of comedic material there.
Yes.
Like, there could have been stuff mined there.
So much.
The fact that the only funny thing about that was that Kenny's quick little interlude, but
got a $50,000 sports car.
Bob and Phyllis eating face.
Yeah.
So like that's the major mark. Is like it's almost becoming a serious show here.
Yeah.
Where they're like focusing on the marital ebbs and flows of Jim and Pam, and then like they're trying to integrate the new guys in.
Mm-hmm.
But last week the main theme was Jim and Dwight having like. Existential crises.
Yeah.
Like, we're not young anymore. We can't do the things we used to do.
Yeah.
Or we're stuck here and, like, doing different things to get out of it.
Yeah.
And then this week is...
Or not this week, but this episode.
This episode is Jim, like, hiding stuff from Pam. And, like they're... It's almost becoming, like, a drama in a way.
Yeah.
Like, the funny isn't as funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just...
So, I know that you're not the biggest Pam fan. Right?
I'm not, no.
Okay, so there
she
is...
She has her moments, like when she said, boo!
Yeah. So there is a subsection of Office fans who are not Pam fans.
Good people.
There is also a lot of memes going around. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's basically like, you can get better. Like, if you leave that toxic relationship, you can do better. You can, like, improve yourself and be better. And then it says, just look at this one. And it's a picture of Roy.
That's awesome. Or Jim and Kathy.
A lot of people, like, they'll post a picture of Jim and Pam and, like, paste Kathy's face over. And, like, there, I fixed it.
It could have been so much better.
Yeah.
She loved that boy. Well, she didn't.
No, she didn't. She wanted the dick.
She wanted the rod.
That's it. It shows, like, just how much you can change when you're given the opportunity to.
Yeah.
And not even change, but grow.
Yeah.
And like, I think that that's really what they're hitting home here is, mm-hmm. like, you can still be you and grow.
And not be stagnant.
Yes.
And I get that, but it's a comedy.
Yeah.
And they're just weak on the laughs.
Yeah.
This one was...
There's a lot of missed potential here.
And I think the big thing is because when Roy was around... He brought funny. Like, it was funny. Yeah. He was a good foil.
Yeah.
And, like, I understand the reason why they did it, but, like, I also feel like they let you down.
Yeah.
to name an episode Roy's Wedding. And have then, it start at 8 a.m. on a Wednesday. And they never explain why it's 8 a.m. on a Wednesday or anything like that. And, like, he just marries a business owner. Like, a restaurant owner. And
like, Roy's Wedding is only, like, 5 minutes of this.
Yeah, it's barely anything. And it's just disappointing. And the sub-storyline
with... I would have loved for all of this to have happened at the wedding. Like, the entire episode take place at the wedding.
Like, they... I mean, even episodes with, like, Diwali... Most of it was there at the celebration.
Like, it was a setup in the office.
Phyllis's wedding.
And then, everything was at the wedding.
Yeah. Like, this one was just such a letdown.
Yeah.
It really was.
It had so much more potential. And I don't know if there were certain writers who left in season 9. And maybe that's why it's not as
like, what did... The Dwight Nelly thing, too. Just like... Dwight's so much better than that.
Yeah. Honestly, that
and
was...
And again, that was like a thing where Jim would like... Use Dwight's pride against him. It's just the same thing with just a different person. I feel like they're not mining new material and they're shitting on good opportunities. And I'm not going to pass judgment on the new guys yet. Yeah. I feel like 2 episodes is too soon.
Oh, God.
But probably next week or the week after, I'm probably going to start having things to say. We'll see. Anything else you want to touch on?
No, dude. That's all I got.
All right. So, guys, that's it for this week. What do we got next week?
Next week, we have Season 9, Episode 3, Andy's Ancestry.
Sounds awful.
And then Episode 4, Work Bus.
Work Bus?
Work Bus.
We shall see. Oh, no Gabe in this episode, too. Sad.
Yeah.
All right, guys. You can catch us each and every Monday here, wherever you listen to podcasts, or Anchor, Podbean, Google, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, you will find us.
Jenny Position.
Jenny Position. Each and every Monday, along with all the other great shows I talked about earlier. Subscribe today. You'll thank me later. And that'll do it for us, so we'll catch you all on down the road.
Thanks, guys.